Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny 350. We are chugging right along. This is Kevin DeFrango. On my right is Jeremy Mays. How are you doing, sir?
Hey, man, what's up?
On my left is Chris Calamita. How are you?
I am great. How about yourself?
I cannot argue. As I just Instagrammed, as I try to continue the social media push for Stunt Granny, Stunt Granny Brewing Irish Whip, dry hopped with Willamette hops, is the beverage of choice for this show. So we can go ahead and get that one right out of the way right now.
Very cool.
Take it. Swig of beer for the working man? Is that what you were doing? Was that a swig of water for the working man?
Thought it was beer.
Okay.
I think it's beer.
Alright. It makes more sense, beer for working man. I mean, water would be for the poor. Or just being a dick and rubbing it in for people who can't afford good water if you live in Flint still. Because that's brand new news, apparently. Idiots. Anyways.
Well, there was some brand new news that Chris brought up, and then we decided to hit record. Why don't you go ahead and repeat that for the listeners, Chris?
Okay, I'm going to take this. I'll just take this verbatim from WrestlingInc.com. WWE Hall of Famer Ric Flair slipped up during a promo at tonight's SmackDown tapings and told Natalya to kill herself. The segment will likely be edited.
Yeah, it's pretty good to put the likely to be edited part in there right off the bat.
Yeah, but that's going to become a pretty big search on the underground for that footage that somehow leaks out eventually.
Yeah, where's that Russian company that was putting all the Raw and SmackDown right on YouTube for free? They hacked into the feed and were playing it. What was it, last week they were in England? No. Yeah, last week they were in England. So all that stuff was going on free on YouTube.
I guess I did not hear about that.
I heard about similar stuff.
Yeah.
With announcers' notes and everything, and even overhearing announcers with their conversations with Vince through the headsets.
Oh, man. That sounds awesome.
But you don't hear Vince. I think you just hear them talking to Vince.
Oh, okay. You just hear their end of the conversation.
I think that's the way it went.
Do you understand how fantastic that would be? And actually how dangerous that probably is? To have anybody able to access Vince McMahon talking in the headphones of the announcers? Oh, boy. Oh. God, that'd be great.
as Ric Flair, of course, proving why they don't let him speak as much anymore, and why ever since the incident about, was it 12 years ago, where during your promo on Randy Orton, he talked about making virgins bleed.
Well, I was at a WCW Thunder. Was it Thunder? No, maybe it was Nitro. It was hard to tell by then. He said he was going to jab slap somebody. That was a lot of fun, because we heard that in the arena, and you just heard this, oh, like, oh, boy. That's, you know, that was fun when we were in fourth grade, Rick. Well, I don't know what grade he would have been out of school by then. But, yeah. So.
Yeah, that was a while ago before the climate is much tighter at this juncture too.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I thought it was strange on Raw that Charlotte was. Well, they didn't bring up the fact that Charlotte was hiding behind Ric Flair, because why would the announcers do their job? But then Rick wasn't even doing anything. He was just sitting there smiling at Natalya, and I couldn't tell if that was supposed to be just like, you know, Rick being disrespectful towards her, or just Rick being kind of old and just not knowing what to do. Like, all right, you have to sit there and you have to take the brunt of the punishment while your daughter hides. It was really, really awkward.
Well, I don't know if Rick knows what to do with these women, especially after after the Royal Rumble when he kissed Becky Lynch and was apparently reamed out for about an hour by Vince.
Oh, lucky. So?
Yeah.
Heaven forbid.
Vince is just pissed that he didn't get to do it first.
A 70-year-old man's bitching out a 70-year-old man?
For an hour.
That's high comedy. I mean, okay, sure. No, Rick shouldn't have done that. But at the same time, it's Ric Flair. So, I mean, what could a possible browbeating like that achieve? Nothing. But
no, that's why Jim Ross took the fall for Ric Flair showing up drunk in an appearance instead of Ric Flair. He's Ric Flair. He gets away with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, thanks, Jim. So now we're. But I wouldn't mind if like this was tonight was kind of the final straw, even though we'll probably never see it. That it'd be fine if this was okay. Sunday, if Bret Hart's there, if he decides to show up, whatever. That somehow this leads to Ric Flair no longer being around, because every time he's on, Elise will go. So she's just leeching off her dad's success? I'm like, I mean, not really, but I can understand why people see that and it, like see them together and immediately think that.
Well, and they have pushed the storyline. That was kind of funny. I did actually think the announcers, for the most part, did a better job than normal this week in commentary. Like, I didn't completely hate them. I actually had to mention some stuff this week.
Were you not listening during the Russos? It's close enough. The Usos and I was calling the Bullet Club for right now. JBL was fucking horrendous. All he talked about was whether or not the Bullet Club was in the corner of AJ Styles or not, instead of concentrating on the match. That's all he said.
I thought they got over the Bullet Club fairly well.
He didn't.
I don't remember a thing about the commentary of that match.
My God. I was going back and forth with Shahid about it. Like, what the hell is JBL doing? It's like, just shut your mouth already. And obviously, I'm going to guess, that was supposed to be his direction. But you know when JBL gets on those strings where it almost... He's supposed to get his point across, and if the other announcers aren't playing along, he just browbeats things into the ground. This was one of those cases.
Yeah, like, I even typed the announcers are doing a good job of selling Anderson and Gallows in my review.
Yeah, well...
And maybe it wasn't JBL. Maybe it was just Saxton and Michael Cole. But,
the words good job and Saxton don't belong together. Come on now.
I don't know. I guess he's not any worse than Michael Cole. I don't know. Like, none of their guys, actually, Corey Graves and Tom Phillips crack me up. Like, Tom Phillips plays his role well of getting the verbal beatdown from Corey Graves constantly.
Yeah. I think that they've got a pretty good chemistry. Graves. Probably, if it was purely based on talent, probably should be on Raw, or at least SmackDown.
But I wonder how he would change. Like, you always hear Jim Ross talk about the announcers on the main shows, all the stuff they have to do and get across. And I would wonder how much he would change once he's up there. Unless he replaced JBL, I couldn't see him doing that shtick with JBL at the table. For sure.
Well, and he really, he would have to replace him because he's more of a heel, even though, because I was thinking about this last week too, is that he goes kind of off board on the heel face thing about as much as JBL does, but it just seems more natural to him because it always seems like he has a certain criteria that he sticks by and he's like, nah, fuck that guy, like, even if it's a heel. It cracks me up. In his case, it cracks me up. In JBL's case, most of the time I'm going, dude, why are you rooting for the babyface now? This is fucking stupid. Like, you've been cheering against this kind of action all night long, complaining about this kind of action from babyfaces all night long, but then all of a sudden he likes it from another babyface. Like, it, to me, at least, the criteria that Graves goes by has some logic to it.
I don't disagree. I just got distracted. I've turned on TNA wrestling, or Impact Wrestling, excuse me, for the first time in months. And the Decay are on?
Are they the Decod?
What's their gimmick supposed to be?
I don't know. I have not watched it. Like, I'm watching taped Ring of Honor at the current moment because they're replaying stuff that was recorded in February as if people think that this is still relevant. Like, Ring of Honor is improved in a lot of ways, but this is not one of them.
They're just letting New Japan carry their show now. That's it. They're not even creating new storyline. They're not even bothering to, do anything. They've got a pay-per-view coming up in 2 weeks. They're not even advertising any matches, just saying, hey, the Japanese guys are coming.
Well, they had done a decent job, up until this past pay-per-view. Then they had, all their they did a couple of review shows, and then they've done all these tapings from Japan. And that really killed the momentum that they had going, to me, whatever momentum you want to say they have. It's not a whole lot. Right. They're just far better than TNA, I guess, at this point.
But at least with them doing airing shows from Japan, the announcers are recording their commentary in a studio, so you don't actually have to see the idiocy of someone out there in a mask doing commentary. I can't stand that. What an unfriendly to new viewers show. I mean, the first thing you're going to see is an announcer wearing a mask for no reason.
Well, and it's even worse when Kevin Kelly just pretty much says that it's Steve Corino beside him, but they keep on pretending that he's Mr. Wrestling 3.
And Steve Corino never made it out of ECW, so there's a very, very good chance that a lot of people don't even know who Steve Corino is if they're just flipping through the channels looking for something new to watch at 2 in the morning.
Wait a minute. I haven't watched Ring of Honor in a while. Why the hell is Steve Corino wearing a mask calling himself Mr. Wrestling 3? Because that was a genuine laugh. I thought that was funny.
Well, it started a while back because B.J. Whitmer recruited Carino's son into his group, The Decade. And I think he attacked Whitmer once. And Nigel told him that he can't be attacking wrestlers. He's either got to be a wrestler or be an announcer. Well, he ended up brass knuckling Whitmer at some later time. So he got fired as an announcer, but then supposedly he had neck surgery around the same time too. So he couldn't really wrestle to finish the storyline. So since he's still fired, he's wearing a mask and being Mr. Wrestling 3.
You guys are wrong on this. That's fucking funny. That's just, it worked with Hogan as Mr. Wrestling, Mr. America. It worked with the Midnight Rider. It was Dusty Rhodes. It's just odd to have it as an announcer, but that's still funny. I
mean, It is funny, but I just think about...
You want to talk about, non-viewer friendly. Look at the product. It's harshly lit, which TNA could use a lighting rig from Ring of Honor right now. That's more off-putting than, seeing a guy in a mask on commentary. If he spoke with a Spanish, a Spanish accent, that'd be even better, actually. But, anyways, Sorry, I didn't mean to hijack this, but show is god awful. And oh, I'm at TNA, by the way. And James Storm stopped working out.
Oh, he doesn't care anymore.
This is embarrassing.
Oh man, because he did look pretty decent at the NXT tapings, and shortly thereafter, he's letting it go.
Decent enough.
No, it's noticeable. I mean, he came down the ring. He had a T-shirt on, and you can see his arms were drastically smaller, and like the belly's gotten back to where it used to be, but without the muscles carrying him on the rest of the body.
Oh boy,
he's getting paid. So good for you know. Good for him. Whatever. Anyways, yep.
That's what he's sitting there thinking right now.
Well, it's funny because Bobby Roode's in the ring, and yep. But
there was another part of.
The Ric Flair
part of the Ric Flair story, which I was not aware of because I evidently just don't look at the wrestling news ever, evidently. The fact that Bret Hart really doesn't want to be at Payback this week.
Where is this coming from? Because it was when, wasn't it some, like, it was a wrestling show or some sort of live interview, like a Jim Ross sort of thing. He's basically not buried, but he's just bad-mouthed Triple H, said he really, the product stinks, he doesn't really want to be there, but he will because it's his niece, and then he even went back into the Ric Flair thing about how we had the same match all the time, and I was reading it thinking, where is this coming from? I thought everything was cool with him.
Yeah, especially if there's anything between him and Ric Flair, I mean, although that's maybe a little bit of of work mode slipping in, maybe. But no, Brett's been... Well, again, after the stroke, good days, bad days. And then he does feel like he's had prostate surgery. He had, I think, said he had surgery on his wrist. He just doesn't want to go back on TV yet. He doesn't feel like he's, you know, physically up to par, I guess.
That's true.
Well, that's no reason to start bitching about the product and everything else.
Unless, I mean, and this is all unfounded, but unless there's something behind the scenes where, like, look, you got to be here. It's your niece. Like, they basically pressured him into it. and that I can understand why that would upset you. I mean,
right.
You know, especially with what Chris said, if he doesn't physically feel like he's up for it, and then you're pressuring the guy to do it, yeah, I can see why he's upset. I mean, and especially, I didn't even think about the Ric Flair part just being, like, part of the work. But I don't get the Triple H part unless that was, like, him pressuring him to be there. Because that just kind of came out of the blue.
Well, Brett, it's a little known, but Brett and his sons have their own podcast that they do. And part of it is they talk about, it's been for a couple of months now. So it's maybe like a couple of months that Brett's... It's just being brutally honest about what he feels about the product. So he's been bad-mouthing the product for a while now.
But he even went in on Triple H, and not personally, but professionally, just saying he's mediocre, he has mediocre ideas, and I mean, it's one thing to criticize a product and say, well, this guy's doing this and that, but then it's another thing to purposely call out one guy who... If you look at NXT, depending on what you believe, that's his baby. He has everything to do with it. And that's the one that gets the glowing, you know, glowing reviews, whatever, compared to Raw, which kind of good right now. But I'm just confused. I don't know. I would think that if I survived a stroke, possibly, hopefully, almost beating colon cancer, that you just kind of... with everything, just kind of accept it. Like, all right, I'll be there for my granddaughter. Oh my god, I'll be there for my niece, and that's it. And just collect my check, get my veteran deal money, and go chill out in Canada for a while. I don't know why he's so angry. Well, I guess the cancer would make you pretty angry, actually. But I don't know.
Yeah, I guess that's what I don't get. Like, I mean, he seemed to have been in a good spot with him, so to kind of go to that stage is a little strange to me. But it's part of the reason that makes Bret Hart unappealing, and really did from pretty much from the time of the screw job on. He's as unlikable as his niece sometimes.
Oh my goodness.
I don't know why I don't like Natalia. I mean, I do know why I like Natalia, or I do not like Natalia.
There's a fake nice thing to it. She's the type of person who has to tell you about all the charity work she does. She has to tell you how great she is. Smug, even on Total Divas,
that's where it started.
It's kind of a. No, I know that's mostly a work, but I think there's enough reality to see that this is how she is. She's a very selfish person. I think it shines through. It shines through. She always comes off very smug. Now I have borderline liked her the last few weeks because they've been playing to at least some strengths, but, well, at least wrestling-wise, playing to her strengths.
Yeah. I don't think does anyone have a problem with her in-ring ability?
No, not at all. She's great. She's really good.
Yeah, and just Total Divas brought it out, and then just, they did a really good job of making her unlikable, but then even on TV, when she talks now, oh well. All right. Does anyone think she's going to win this weekend? And I know it's like jumping all over on this one, but it makes no sense to me for her to win.
I actually think it makes all the sense for her to win, because it's just, why are you bringing Bret Hart there to watch her lose again?
Maybe Bret knows something we don't, and maybe that's why it's mediocre.
That would be kind of funny. Just Vince calling him the second time to tell him, we want you in the corner so that she can lose again.
Yeah. By the way, you can't touch Ric Flair, and they're just gonna, make fun of you. Unless it's a long-term program until WrestleMania or SummerSlam or something. But, I mean, come on. It's not. So.
Right.
That may be a reason for Bret Hart to be ragging on Triple H, because maybe it was him that called him instead of Vince and was like, "Hey, we need you in the corner for Natalya to lose." It's like, what? Why am I flying all the way from Canada to here? Like, you might have heard I've been sick. So how about a happy ending? Nah, it's all right. We have bigger plans. But
Vince gets too much enjoyment out of watching that kind of loss to pass it up. How he gets his rocks off is when he gets to watch the family's suffering during a loss.
Yeah. But no, I mean, they've built it up for months that, Ric Flair always gets involved in Charlotte's big title matches, and now she's finally got an opponent who's brought along an equalizer. I mean, the story, it's the classic story. Think that Natalya would win, but she's,
she's Natalya.
That's fine.
I wish they'd had, Snoop Dogg, knock out Ric Flair. Flair's bumped from everyone else. He might as well have bumped Snoop Dogg.
What a great, horrible scene that would be.
That would be amazing.
Because you can't, all right, I don't know anything about Snoop other than, what you see in the public eye. He doesn't look like he can fight for shit. Because he's such a skinny, lanky dude. I can't imagine a fist from him. It's going to feel all that bad. If he had Shaq's eyes behind him, then maybe. But he's got just nothing there.
I would not be intimidated if Snoop Dogg threatened to beat me up.
No, because he's got that voice, too. So.
Yeah, the size and the voice, really. It'd be like Prince beating you up.
You your flunkies. Yeah, no, but I think having Natalya win at Payback would totally stunt the women's thing, because they've just kind of dropped Sasha Banks right now. You know, Becky Lynch has had her chances. Sasha Banks, you know, the clear fan favorite. It almost seems like that's what, who's destined to beat Charlotte. But I don't know. I mean,
well, you know, the one thing that was the one thing about Raw is that for all the right things that they've done, they really did take a step back with the women. But it might just be because all of the people that they've introduced have needed time.
Yeah.
And they've all been men.
In the first 2 hours of last night's show, no one who was on the main roster on January 1st won a match.
Oh, wow.
Oh, and I did mistweet something or mispost on Facebook, which was I said that the women's match was the only one that didn't go to commercial break. I forgot that Apollo Crews beat Stardust in under a commercial break.
Oh, Apollo Crews needs to stop smiling. Oh, it's getting bad, and I was really high on him, you know. But this Rocky Maivia, I'm just happy to be here. Gosh darn it, I'm gonna try my best, you know, thing. Ugh.
They haven't
it worked. look at it in the long run, it worked. So keep smiling, Apollo. I mean, I think it's just so drastically different than everybody else that's not named Uso. But, and I guess New Day, supposedly, apparently. But, yeah, no, I know what you mean with the smiling. But, yeah, it's let the crowd turn on him and then, you know, see what he can do from there. That's fine, too. But we've already seen how they react when a crowd turns on somebody. Your ratings plummet for 2 straight weeks whenever he's in the main event. So. Can we just like have an actual decent conversation about Roman Reigns real quick?
Sure.
Why not?
Isn't it kind of clear something's wrong? Because since he's won the title, whenever he's on the TV, people aren't watching the show. If he's in the main event of something, there's no one watching. Well, not no one, but you know what I mean. The third hour, yet again, drastically dropped. And he's the one that's at the end of the show.
Let's see, wait. Well, last.
Is that fair?
I think that the third hour has had its problems in the past.
Yeah.
Although I've just done a poor job of really keeping up with them, because that's what I mean. I kind of laughed when I saw how many people are watching Lucha Underground, and I feel like our friends is like a tenth of the audience.
Yeah.
It really is, but
so it's just like, you know, you bust the WWE's balls, but like something that's being praised by a bunch of wrestling geeks is drawing 130,000 people or something like that. It's just like, okay, guys, I'm glad that everybody likes it, but that's fucking awful for how many people are watching it. Pretty much no one.
Yeah, well, El Rey doesn't have a whole lot of viewers, so.
No, they can't. They're only on Dish, DirecTV, and Comcast, I think.
I've got them on Time Warner.
Okay, oh, Time Warner, okay. But yeah, okay. They have horrible penetration. I mean, I actually, because I do enjoy the product, I do subscribe on iTunes. I did the whole thing where, like, you know what? Okay, I'll put my money down on something I enjoy. So maybe see if this thing can. Well, they're in the middle of taping their third season already, so they've got like a year's worth of material like already taped. So they're gonna at least try to keep this thing going through season three. But yeah, at a certain point, they're spending a lot of money for not a lot of returns. So I think, I guess, probably enjoy it while you can.
Yeah, but I guess to get back to Jeremy's point, too, though, that Well, I mean, the WWE, haven't they flat out said that they aren't as concerned about ratings?
Yep, that's something I was going to bring up, too. That's why I was asking if it's even, like, I guess fair is one point, but then also if it matters, like, going to what you're saying.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've been saying for a while, I don't have that much of a problem with Reigns. Like, I really don't. Like, is he my, if there's a guy that's going to be the guy, is he the guy? No. But is he that bad? No. I think his mic work's okay. His in-ring work is pretty decent. You know, obviously him and Triple H really didn't have that great of a match at WrestleMania. So, I mean, he needs some help when he's in the ring. But I think when he has that help in the ring, he has some great matches. And who was... Oh, the match with Del Rio this week was fairly decent.
Everything Del Rio's in is so bland to me. Ugh. That guy. Whatever they're paying him, it's too much.
Alright. Well, there's a lot between two of you. Part of the problem... Yeah. Alright, I was looking at the ratings, and our one had 3,263,000 viewers. Second hour was 3,184,000, so roughly lost... Was that 80... No. 80,000? Something like that. We'll just go 80,000 around it. Third hour went to 2,938,000. So it lost... 300,000? Around? Yeah, something like 300,000. 360,000 viewers. Which is basically what Lucha Underground does in a week. Going back to that. But... Right. That's the show. Like, I didn't think the match was all that bad with him. It's just by then. I mean, the shows have been good, by the way. It's like really good, really good, really good. It's like, it's still really good, but okay, we're on hour three. Like, yeah, it's a Monday. It's getting on 11 o'clock. You know, your average viewer, if you're still going for kids, which we know this doesn't work anyways, your audience has got to go to bed.
Well, I don't know why I didn't think of maybe that's the reason for the drop in viewership always at that time.
It pretty much always is. It's always,
yeah.
It's just too long, and but it's what USA wants, so that's what USA is going to get. And right now, they're trying to make new stars. They're doing a pretty good job at it right now, and there's going to be some growing pains with that. But yeah, to anchor a 3-hour show, I don't know if anyone other than John Cena or Brock Lesnar or Undertaker could really do that. And Undertaker and Lesnar wouldn't be with a match. So
yeah, no, I think that's where I was going to go with this. I don't know if they're putting Reigns in the best position. And I want to hear him talk other than, you know, I'm not a bad guy, I'm not a good guy, I'm the guy. We haven't gotten, like, any genuine expression out of him at all. I mean, he talked about AJ Styles, that was fine, but we never got a huge talk from him about him winning. We never heard him address people booing him. Other than, you know, I'm not a, you know, the catchphrase. Like, at least John Cena would come out, and whether we liked it or not, would say, you know, I love you guys, what your freedom of expression is, you know, it's a WWE show, you say what you want to say, and that sort of thing. Where Reigns, I know he's supposed to be playing the tweener, but even a tweener has opinions. And unless I've missed something, he's never really addressed it. Even a simple, you're either with me or you're against me. And I can hear a lot of you guys are against me. Well, doesn't change anything. And then just hold the belt up and say, I'm still your champion or something like that. Just give us something.
Yeah, I guess the catchphrase is supposed to address that.
It was cool once.
I'm good with you in that. You need a little more meat. That's kind of like the sizzle part. maybe you need a little reasoning behind it, or just some type of substance to why he doesn't care.
Right, yeah. They have him, they're just, I think they're scared to let him go. And they shouldn't be there. There are plenty of people who said that, from Dusty Rhodes to Steve Austin, who praised his ability to think on his feet when he's allowed to. But no, he has to be so tightly scripted. That's what's hurt him for the last year and a half. I mean, that nursery rhyme promo he did on Big Show, that killed him dead. That was the end right there.
Well, and I guess, come to think of it, when they stopped overly scripting New Day, was when New Day became good. Quality-wise.
They've been given complete just carte blanche to do whatever they want. And gotta start doing that with guys. Yeah, Roman Reigns needs that. It's a 3-hour show, and so many guys are still out. So you almost need all hands on deck wrestling on the show most weeks. And if he's the champion, his match should go on last. That's just, you know,
it's just the way it is.
It's always been, and probably all it should be.
Well, it was a non, like, this week was a non-title match. It could have gone on whenever. And also, not to say that there was a match on this show that should have been the last match anyways, but.
They could have had a bunch of them be the last match, honestly. Outside of the women's match and the Cruz Stardust match, a bunch of them could have been the main event if they had felt like it. Just even the hype they put behind Anderson and Gallows, yeah, and because of their tie-in to, well, really to the other news that we were going to talk about tonight, which we've kept in a dusty closet up until this point. You know, the WWE, again, to talk about the things that they're doing right, whether AJ Styles is in charge of what Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows is doing, or if it's, maybe Finn Balor, who happened to lose the NXT title belt this past Thursday,
Kevin,
or Friday.
Kevin, it's a championship. We've had this discussion before. It's a championship.
All right. Okay, Vince.
The NXT championship. He dropped the NXT championship to Samoa Joe. I believe it's Thursday or Friday.
Yeah, at a house show in
Lowell, Massachusetts.
Lowell, Massachusetts.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. They talked about the history of Concord, North Carolina, and how all these guys wrestled there. And our main event, which was, it was a fun show, don't get me wrong, our main event was Nakamura and Finn Balor versus Baron Corbin and Ty Dillinger. Lowell, Massachusetts, wherever the hell that is, they get a championship match that has a championship change hands? That's screwed.
Yeah, I guess it was planned for a while, and they just want to send the message that anything can happen at these NXT house shows, which I'm fine, I guess. And they're going to show the match in its entirety anyway tomorrow. So,
and they do a decent, like, that's one of those things that I'm kind of glad that they, if they had done this right at WrestleMania, Takeover Dallas, and Balor loses, the hype or the possibility of it being Balor wouldn't have, I don't know if it would have worn off, or if they didn't want the speculation the whole time. This kind of keeps it a little more fresh with the pay-per-view happening, you know, this coming week.
Right. Well, honestly, I'm okay. Hot take coming right here. I hope it's not Finn Balor behind Anderson and Gallows. I mean, I guess as a fan, I want to see him coming as a babyface and be a huge star in that way. And number two, we're just introducing so many new people. You know, and maybe 25% of the Raw audience, or granted this increasing audience, you know, has ever watched NXT. So it's just like, we're going to introduce someone else who most people, granted, Chicago would pop huge, of course, on Sunday, but we get to Raw on Monday, and then the viewership, once again, this wavering viewership is going to be introduced to yet another new person that they've never seen before in their lives. I think that there's almost too much new. Not almost, there is too much new. There's too much going on. Have at it, guys.
Yeah, like, to me, it would be at least one of those things that if it isn't Balor and it's actually just AJ Styles, that would be a lot of fun. If they did it that way. If they think that this is, again, something else that's going to make Roman Reigns a good guy, just look at what happened on Monday when he gets booed for saving the Usos. Like, it's a straight-up beatdown on people that the fans have enjoyed.
Yeah, they were getting booed up by association. I mean, yep. I think Ambrose is the only one who can avoid being booed in association with Reigns. The Usos aren't that over.
Well, they've even separated Ambrose and Reigns as well. Which would be kind of funny if it was Ambrose that was in cahoots with Anderson and Gallows, but
that could be good. And I mean, last week I threw out the Seth Rollins possibility, and it, I guess it could happen if he's healed and done filming his movie with Wesley Snipes,
who just signed a contract for multiple movies with WWE. So
yeah,
good to see the Wesley Snipes back on the prowl there. But going back to it. The Finn Balor part, one, especially with Joe getting busted open at TakeOver, what an awesome visual that would have been to end the show with Joe kind of, sort of, almost not bleeding, holding the championship above his head. Because that would have been an endearing image, as if to say, what did they go through, or what did he go through to finally take the title away from Finn Balor? You know, can't do it now. So, I don't know why they would plan on having this title change anyways. I agree with Kevin about how if he would have lost it at TakeOver, then there wouldn't be the speculation that there is now. And especially, it didn't help that Balor also told a group of fans, see you Monday.
He does it every week.
Yeah, well then he also came back out on Saturday saying he's in NXT to stay. Which I've heard these rumors about some of the NXT guys just wanting to stay there, which makes no sense to me.
They have to. Meltzer's already been debunked that. That's just what they have to say to make it feel like the hot brand. But
yeah, it's like
I mean, Baylor's going to
get paid less and wrestle in front of less people. Yeah, sure. Wait, what? No, what, are you insane? Oh, I'm sorry. Make less money. Oh yeah. I'll do that.
I mean, they might try to get one more takeover out of Balor challenging Joe before Balor comes up for the summer. I mean, it could be him on Sunday. I'm just giving my reasons why I wouldn't have it be.
But I do like the idea that it is AJ, because, and we've talked about this before, AJ has like a dickish nickname, saying he's phenomenal. He's pretty cocky, which, you know, in today's age, that's fine. And it would be kind of fun because, you know, I don't know if you can play it this way, but just to say, well, I'm undersized and it's better to have, you know, my family's better than yours. It'd also be funny if Gallows and Anderson just turned on him, just to turn on him. And then have AJ, I don't know, have something else go on. I mean, I like the possibilities coming out of this. Finn Balor being one of them would be fine. But then also, if it turns out to be Finn Balor and they turn on AJ, they're going to have to explain it without bringing up New Japan Wrestling again.
Yeah, that is an issue. Yeah. I mean, they mentioned New Japan. They mentioned the IWGP Tag Team Championship. Are they really that this is a continuation of a storyline from New Japan? Or
then again,
what they're doing with Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens? I mean, I guess they're not naming motion names, but they're using their real life 14-year history. So yeah. It's not from a possibility.
Well, and that's what I was just going to say. As much as the WWE likes to have the rights to their own property, they're completely fine with nicking somebody else's storyline and using it for their own. They have got zero problems doing that.
Yeah, because
you can't steal from us, but how about we steal from everybody else?
Yeah, 'cause what they haven't mentioned is, you know, they kind of leave out the fact that, well, Gallows and Anderson kind of, you know, beat down AJ Styles before he left. So it would be kind of weird when he shows up and they're all happy to see each other. But,
yeah,
that'd be weird one to work backwards to go towards. But,
yeah, they cannot mention that. But, yeah, I don't see them going full on with the, you know, continuing a New Japan storyline on their TV. I think that's a little too far for them to, you know, go from, you know, acknowledging that in smoke-filled, you know, auditoriums and high school gyms, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, you know, started together to, well, these guys have already wrestled in front of 50,000 people before in their lives. There's another promotion out there that's almost as successful as we are.
I guess the intrigue of this is overshadowing the match. Because you can't have Roman Reigns lose, so someone has to cost AJ Styles the match. Or yet again, he's going to lose another big match.
Yeah. I mean, the two of them can have a good match, but the match cannot end until Anderson and Gallows get involved. So, the early part of the match, the near falls are going to get no reaction at all.
Yeah,
I agree that's the only downside to this is that you know something's going to happen, even if they don't physically get involved. They've at least got to come down to the ringside. There's got to be some type of brawl with the Usos, more than likely.
Just keep them out. Just keep them out of the main event. I don't know what it is. Maybe it was those stupid looking outfits they were wearing last night. But I'm over the Usos. They don't need to be mingling in the main event.
Doesn't it seem like this is actually supposed to set up a 6-man match instead of a title match? That was my thoughts last night. That all 6 of these guys are going to go at it at Payback.
It does seem like far more of a 6-man match, which in some ways would help, but in other ways, I mean, you wouldn't really have the dynamic that you have if it was a 6-man match, because you'd be admitting that Styles is with Gallows and Anderson.
Yeah, that's a good call.
Right, yeah. But yeah, they're just going to be, I mean, Styles and Reigns will probably have a very good match, you know, the finish once Anderson Gallows will get involved. I'm fairly certain whoever the real person, you know, pulling the strings behind Anderson Gallows will probably be revealed. I don't think they'll drag that out in too long. They need a new top heel. More than anything else, they need a new top heel.
Trying to think. Yeah, because I'm...
As much as I like AJ Styles, it would be pretty interesting to put him in that position right away.
Well, they don't want him talking. I mean, I don't know if they don't want him talking, but they haven't really allowed him to talk all that much. If he does go heel, they're going to have to allow him to have, like, a good verbal, you know, spat there.
They've done a better job post-WrestleMania with him. And again, yeah. Like, it's a pretty small sample size. But it does seem like they've let the training wheels off Styles. Because that's another thing that I keep on... Because that's another part of Payback there. Who gets control of Raw Monday night? Mm-hmm. Like, Raw does have a different vibe to it, but I'm still... It doesn't seem like there's any evidence saying that Shane is actually running the show and that's why it's different. You know, it's just that it's a regular WWE show and it seems like, at least for the time being, they have their shit together.
Well, isn't Shane the one that's... His thing is that he's the guy bringing you all these fresh faces.
Yeah,
new matchups,
apparently they had no show book before Shane McMahon showed up on the night after WrestleMania, because he must have called Enzo and Cass and Apollo Crews from backstage to their hotel rooms and told them to get dressed and come on down. So yeah, it's Shane is a part of this, even though he's not young or that new, but he's fresher than everyone else. So, I mean, obviously, this whole thing is designed that, you know, everyone's supposed to think that there's no way that Vince would pick Stephanie, but then that's exactly what he's going to do.
Well, and then that still kind of leads me back to the same point. Can't they keep on doing what they're doing, even with them? Like, they could stay... I mean, as long as the authority stays out of the picture for the most part, and again, they pretty much did outside of the Roman Reigns storyline recently, they could accomplish the same things that Shane, quote-unquote, is right now.
What do you mean?
Are they going to send... Okay, so Shane introduced Apollo Crews and Anderson and Gallows and who else was it from NXT that came up? What, Chris just mentioned him and I'm completely blanking on it.
Enzo and Cass.
Like, are
and
they
the VOD villains?
And the VOD villains. Are those, do if the authority takes over, do they all get sent back to NXT?
Okay.
You know, I mean, where, you would have to do something. If you're actually trying to illustrate a difference, which they seem to be hammering home, like, if the authority takes back over, you need to do something extreme like that, where all the new guys are like, nope, and you just bring back the same old garbage just to see what happens.
Yeah, I get where you're coming back now. This hasn't been built up at all. It hasn't been built up that everyone wants Shane to stay. This is all kind of, you know, Stephanie returned out of nowhere, and, you know, this is going to make his grand decision, and there's just been no... There is no, you know, oh my god, doomsday scenario of what could happen if the authority takes back over. That I see, yeah.
You're still looking a little lost there, Jeremy. Do we need to...
I'm with you. I'm just thinking that this is exactly what they do want. Shane's the guy that's bringing... I've kicked this around in my head. Shane's the guy that's bringing all the new people. Stephanie and, I guess, just Stephanie now. Just the show to be theirs. Them being in control of everything, which means the same people. Which I think paints some of these guys in a weird light. Like, Stephanie's going to come back. Are they going to push, you know, Sheamus and Rusev, who are still on it? And Alberto Del Rio and... all the guys you, like, don't want to see in favor, you know, have them feud with the guys you do want to see. Doesn't that kind of put even like John Cena or Randy Orton, all those guys, kind of in a weird position? And that's where I think this is going eventually. This group of people, Stephanie and them will have their group, whatever. I don't know if it works, but that doesn't really seem to matter, you know?
Yeah,
but,
I mean...
But it goes to what you were saying about them being sent, like, are they just going to be sent away? It's like, well, that's a possibility, and that's where this... They could make it hell on everybody Shane brought up. You know?
Yeah, but that's... I don't know if that's where this is going at all. It's just, I think it's just going to... Vince making the decision that Shane stays in charge. Maybe eventually you do Stephanie and Triple H feuding with Triple H actually having a match against each other. I don't know where, what exactly. I don't know exactly how it's going to go.
I mean, I still... In concept, I'm still okay with SmackDown and Raw being separate brands. I know that it did not work last time, for the most part. There was one stretch where they actually kept people on, you know, opposite shows. But, I mean, they could do something like that, but again, it does... I to piggyback on one of Chris's points, like, they don't seem to have invested that much in that part of the angle. I don't know if they think that that's what they're going to do on TV. Like, they're going to try to poach people off of Raw or whatever, but people show up on both shows, so I don't even know how you do that without doing some type of a draft all over again.
I hope they don't. No more of that stuff. They barely have enough talent. I guess they're picking up 32 guys in this cruiserweight tournament, but let's leave the brand split idea in the past. I mean, you could have different people running Raw and SmackDown. You could have do different cosmetic things to separate the two shows, and maybe certain weeks some guys work one show but not the other, but. Not a, you know, a solid split, I don't think.
Yeah, the idea of a brand split, no, that's not exciting. It's unfortunate because Raw's been good the last 2-3 weeks. Even the show at the WrestleMania wasn't bad, just the crowd kind of, you know, dumped on it. And I even said something to Shahid last night. I don't know, he hit me up before I could even say the exact same thing. You got AJ Styles in the main event for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship of, you know, we're calling them pay-per-views because there's still the morons out there buying them. So, again, AJ Styles is in the main event of a WWE pay-per-view. That's mind-blowing. Considering he showed up in January. 5 months later, he's headlining a pay-per-view? That's stupid. So, and then you got Enzo and Cass, all these new faces, and I was just going to keep talking until I got back to the point I was going to make. But no, it's so weird right now. And to have Stephanie even come back, to introduce the authority again, it's a giant step backwards. And going back to the beginning of this show, we were talking about ratings and that. Well, if the ratings don't matter to them, then go for it. John Cena's coming back at the end of May. Okay, cool, you got that. Randy Orton's maybe coming back. I mean, obviously he will sooner or later. I don't think that guy's in any rush whatsoever. And then, who else is gone? Seth Rollins is gone. Still another one of the younger guys. And then Neville. Bray Wyatt wasn't on the show because he's hurt. They've got a stable of young guys. Or young, not young.
Young-ish guys.
Yeah. And I'm...
They're at least fresh faces.
There you go, thanks.
Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt is your mark for for a pretty huge push this summer. And the reactions he was getting before the injury, they might have something there as far as him being a new you know, top baby face, which once again puts another person on that baby face side of the ledger with the heel ledger so weak. We have to trot out Sheamus and Rusev and Del Rio to, you know, maybe fine as mid-carders, but you have to, especially Sheamus, you pretty much almost have to use him as a main eventer, and just, ugh.
I don't know what happened to Sheamus, why everyone turned on him. The guy's a badass, and I know the hair's a total distraction that no one seems to forgive, but I don't know. There's still something in a giant bully Sheamus, even if people don't like him, that makes it better. I don't know when Rusev's finally going to get out of the doghouse, because he's slimmed down. He's what they want.
Yeah, he's, you know, definitely dropped some weight and toned up. Mm-hmm. And, wow, that was just another random part of Raw, just Lana being back there.
Well, they split up the League of Nations. They're done. Yeah. So.
Oh, did they?
With them now.
They mentioned the League of Nations each time they came out, but yeah, the League of Nations was on. If it's not already done, it's on its last legs.
Well, they were supposed to feud with the Wyatts. Well, that ain't gonna work out. Maybe that would have helped them get over as heels. I don't know, but. Yeah, the Sheamus receiving the go-away heat, I don't get what happened. I don't know. I think most of these guys would just benefit from talking and having something to say.
I think most of them would benefit for... they're all more singles wrestlers.
Yep.
Like, they don't have that... play nice with others. They never did, so the fact that they were joining forces was just kind of a weird concept get-go.
It was a plot. The League of Nations was a plot device to put a barrier in front of Roman Reigns for him to knock over. Pretty unlikable characters, obviously. Notably Sheamus, but it didn't work, and they never had great chemistry. They've never had great chemistry together. Yeah, it's just never been. It's never really been good. And yeah, it's time for them to all go their separate ways, and hopefully they can figure something out. I mean, obviously Del Rio, he's just been. They've screwed him with him.
They destroyed him the second he won the United States Championship. Almost said it. The second he won the United States Championship, they put him with Zeb Coulter. And I was like, what the hell is this garbage? And then Mex America? He was no longer the United States Champion. He was the Mex American Champion.
Yeah.
He dumped the Kalisto out of the blue. It wins it back, loses it again. It's like, what's going on here? Because if you look at Del Rio and Lucha Underground, that is not the Del Rio we're getting in WWE.
It's
pretty simple.
Even the Del Rio that I saw on Ring of Honor for at most a handful of episodes was better than this garbage that has been presented again for Del Rio.
Should have just been a baby face. I mean, everyone knows the story of how he lost his job in the first place. He was a returning hero. He beat John Cena, who no one likes, or at least pretends that they don't like to play along with the show. And then he should have been off of the races. They should have had their Hispanic top baby face that they want, but then don't do anything to actually make it reality.
What do you mean, Kalisto's not catching on? Well, but apparently that is a match at Payback now.
And to me, Kalisto's another guy that he hasn't benefited at all from their situation. Like, what have they... his main story is you're still in a tag team. Well, why is he still in a tag team?
Yeah.
Especially
if they're not going for the titles. I mean, I know they were knocked out of the New Day's Budio-sponsored tag team number one contenders tag team tournament. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so, and when he supposedly got hurt, and they've never gone back to that. So
no, and there hasn't ever been any tension teased between him and Sin Cara. Sin Cara hasn't really cost them the matches. I mean, even this past one, Kalisto got taken out of it, so it was essentially a two-on-one match. So it's just like, how do you blame Sin Cara for losing a two-on-one match?
Yeah.
Well, it was set up for, should have been set up for Sin Cara to blame Kalisto for them losing that match, but that never happened.
Right.
But you watch, like, weeks after, you know, that happened and it's done and over with, they're gonna have Sin Cara show up on Sunday to cost Kalisto the match against Ryback, and then they're gonna be flabbergasted why no one cares.
So I mean, I don't think that it's particularly Kalisto's fault that he isn't that popular. They've done nothing with him. You know, again, both Intercontinental and U.S. belts have just gone back to garbage after, well, both of them got built up somewhat. Well, the U.S. definitely...
With Miz, at least.
Huh?
They're trying with Miz. Remember, he's Intercontinental Champion.
Yeah. Well, and that's kind of funny, because the U.S. was the belt that got things moving better because John Cena didn't get hurt and Daniel Bryan did.
Yeah.
But more recently, the Intercontinental belt has had a better story. Like, even if it was just Dean Ambrose having it for a cup of coffee, Kevin Owens has held it in between Owens' reigns, I believe. So, and Owens has gotten a lot of time. So, yeah, the Intercontinental belt has certainly gotten more play recently, and The Miz is continuing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was, well, as you were saying that they've both gone to garbage, I was like, well, remember, Miz is the Intercontinental Champion. If I gotta remind you that Miz is Intercontinental Champion, I guess I'm proving your point, actually. Because it's really not getting the championship over, it's getting Miz and Maurice, you know, trying to get Miz and Maurice over. So,
yeah.
And poor Zack Ryder, boy, he was just a prop. It was, you win at WrestleMania, you're gone the week after. Like, oh, boy, that's...
You get a match on Raw, and then, was it a match on SmackDown, or was it a second Raw match?
And... No, SmackDown.
It was the same week, dude.
Oh, okay, so it was SmackDown.
Monday, Tuesday, bye-bye. You're on some,
He's not even on NXT.
No.
He's oh, no. Yeah. You know what? For putting up with Mojo Rawley, he deserved that moment at WrestleMania.
Yeah. Well, he was also on the Edge and Christian show. I forgot about that. He was on one of those for a change. So, but yeah, no, the title situation there is just kind of weird. They have the built-in storyline, and Ryback winning the United States Championship does nothing. Although Ryback as a bad guy is still great because they're allowing him to do whatever. He actually was ripping up signs that people brought supporting Ryback at house shows. He walked down, some kid had a Ryback sign, he took it out of his hand, was like, yeah, and just tore it up in front of the kid.
That's great.
Yeah, and then he grabs another one and does the same thing. And I'm like, good. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that you're supposed to be doing. And that's when your announcers are supposed to be disgusted with it. But, yeah. Anyways.
Well, hopefully everyone is not disgusted with this extra lengthy edition of the Stunt Granny Audio.
I'm on vacation next week, so I had to get my words in.
I guess I normally run through the old plugola here. DeFrango 11, at Granny Mays, at Chris Calamita, Brand at Stunt Granny, and I'll let somebody else get in a final word or two if you want to.
Yeah, I'm out of this country. Enough of this, so that's all. Oh, and we watch stuff. We're recording tomorrow. We're gonna talk about how Marvel took a predominantly Asian character, a Tibetan guy, and made it a white Celtic woman. And
not talking about Ghost in a Shell, huh?
No, we talked about that last week, and
yeah,
I have the DVD pulled out. I haven't watched it. Maybe I'll watch it while I'm on the beach. No, not like that. Nothing. So, yep. All right. So, I'm gonna shut up. So, just listen to that too.
Chris, you got anything?
I will be here next week. Don't you worry, everybody. Please may not be here, and next week, may not let the cat out of the bag just yet. I might get to meet Keith for the first time, so it could be very exciting.
Oh, God, that'd be fun. I'll have my what's it called, tablet with me, so I'll make sure and listen to that one if that happens. If you can pull off this magic,
okie doke, grandkids, have a good night.